Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Jingle bells, Batman smells, penguin laid an egg. The Batmobile lost its wheel, and Catwoman came back from the dead. Oh, jingle bells. Merry Xmas, everyone. It's Batmas this time on the podcast. Hooray!
Hooray!
All the cheers got all clipped out
Yeah, everyone cheered and it muted everyone.
Cannot
Ah,
prioritize your
that's
merriment.
my kind of Christmas. Everybody shut up.
Anyway, I am the Christmas Pud Rich. With me to form the podcast in all of its Christmassy cheer is our elf on a shelf, Abby.
How fucking dare you? I hate that pissing elf on a shelf.
That's
As does
the
anyone else who works in retail.
Christmas spirit there.
Yeah,
The ghost of Christmas constantly, Anthony.
ho
And a Christmas cracker, Jamie.
that's right. It's the very spirit of the season.
Yeah, I couldn't think of many things Christmassy off the top of my head for a second
I'm
there.
surprised you didn't go with Batman things.
Bat tree.
Jesus
Batteries.
Christ, forget it.
The Robin sleigh bells. The Robins are Christmassy, right?
Yes.
Oh. Penguins, they're not really Christmassy, but they get lumped in because they're cold dwelling creatures, aren't
That's right, Richard.
Sorry, I could have just said your names.
What is wrong with you?
I'm in the Batman spirit. No, anyway, nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. We're here to chat films this week. For us, it's coming up to Christmas. For you, the listener, God knows, but it probably is Christmas. And if not, it's Batman year. It's Batman time all year round, I think.
Agreed.
For those who celebrate, of course. Anyway, we're gonna do the Christmas Batman movie because it is that. It's pissful of Christmas. But it's Batman. I want to say Returns. So like I actually I want to say Forever, but that was the first one we did on the podcast back before even Jamie was involved.
One of
We
the
did.
bad ones.
They're all terrible if you think about it.
How dare
All right, I
you? Before
all
we even get
Batman.
started, if anyone here is going to defend Batman Forever and then talk about this film not being very good, I'm going to be furious.
Don't worry.
Listen.
I do like Batman Forever, and I understand that both that and this are differently terrible and wonderful to each
Okay, that's
I mean,
yes.
I consider myself a Bat fan, and I think Batman's an idiot. A billionaire who wastes his money fucking around doing the wrong thing for everyone.
It's very realistic.
Yeah. Which is why I don't need a reminding of reality in my comic book movie. I want fantasy and escape, not a bunch of things being ruined by rich people and criminals. That's real life. Anyway, no. We did start the podcast on Batman Forever, and we've finally returned, not all the way to the. We haven't done Batman, but we've returned to do Return, the Return of Batman. Oh, fucking hell! Everyone's heard of Batman, although children now, this is old-fashioned, shitty yesteryear Batman to the
Do you
millennia,
know?
to Gen Z and younger. What's after Gen Z?
Azuma's
That's Gen
just.
Z still.
It is Gen
We're
Z.
still on the kids and now
I don't know.
adults are Gen Z. But what is there gonna be a Gen we go back around to A again?
Are you trying to make yourself sound old?
I am.
I'm literally just listening to this. Did anyone else have a little moment of crisis when they saw the year this came out and
What,
realized
night
that
two?
this year, not to date the podcast, sorry, in advance, but this year means that, like, marks this film being 30 years old.
As of when we've
Yes.
We are in our 30s, guys. So I don't know why it comes as a massive surprise. Anyway, it's ye olde Batman. Batman Returns, directed by Tim Burton, and stars Michael Keaton. Actually, who wrote this? I don't know. My writer's deprioritized on Letterboxd. Who cares who wrote it? Some the people who wrote the comics. DC did a magazine. What did they say at the start? From the magazines of Detective
From the
Comics.
Characters featured in the magazines of DC Comics. Or something.
The writers were Daniel Waters and Sam Hamm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I believe Sam Hamm wrote the first one as well, Batman 89.
Is he also...
He gets extra points for being called Sam Hamm.
I know.
I was going to say, is he a Dr. Seuss character? I am Sam Hamm, I am. Fucking hell. Right. Michael Keaton's in it. Oh, he's Batman. Danny DeVito, Michelle Pfeiffer. Good point. Michelle Pfeiffer, Christopher Walken. Who else is in it? A bunch of other people. You just fucking won this. Batman's returned. Whoa, I can't believe it.
It's got a good cast of like funny looking people because there's a circus gang. Vincent Scavelli's in it.
Oh yeah, to talk and do things. It's nice.
Pee Wee Herman's in it. Who else?
Oh yeah,
he's been the Penguin's dad twice.
He was in Gotham. Yes. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never watched Gotham. My dad always tells me I should.
Your dad's right until about halfway through season one, and then he's wrong.
Season one is okay, then it's very up and down. And then the last season, they try some stuff, some of it works, and then some of it's absolute dog shit.
I didn't realise, I don't think, until watching it this time, that Doug Jones is in this as that thin clown who gets some dialogue.
Was he just in that thing we watched the other day? Was he the under the stairs guy? No, that's some other kid. That was like a guy selling newspapers was in People Under the Stairs. Am I right?
Wait, a guy selling newspapers? What?
In this film, in Batman Returns, they were like, those kids who sell newspapers called like newsies.
Newsies.
Is that right, Abby?
Yeah, he was a newsie.
Yeah, the guy who, you know, gets is under the guy who lives. In the walls of the house, in
the one who is
So who's this Doug guy?
Doug Jones is like the guy who plays every monster in every Guillermo del Toro movie. He's Abe Sapien in the Hellboy movies. He's the...
Well, that's why you don't recognize him.
Yeah, because he's always in extensive makeup. He's also, I think, his first film. Well. Maybe not his first film, because I don't know if this came out first or that. But anyway, he was the zombie, the resurrected zombie with the stitched-up mouth in Hocus Pocus. He's been in, like, millions of things, mostly as various monsters. But, he's the acrobat clown that, like...
Next to the child.
Yeah.
I just had a quick look at his IMDb. And apparently he played dead Iraqi soldier in Three Kings.
Oh,
well.
Good to know. Yeah, anyway, it was a sort of communal agreement to watch this film. I suggested it, and it went down pretty well because we're all bat freaks to some extent. Anthony, what's your relationship with this film?
Well, the first thing I would have watched Batman-wise was probably the cartoon, the animated series.
The best.
Then the Schumacher films. And then I would have worked my way back. And I think I probably saw this before the first Batman. Stick to my only watch sequels first rule.
Yeah. This and Batman were fucking huge in the cinema. I vaguely recall the queue. The queues for like Jurassic Park were insane. I think also the sequel to Jurassic Park at the time. And Batman movies were like heaving at the cinema. Mm-hmm. I remember vividly. Like, there was loads of advertising for it and shit. But I don't know. I probably watched it on TV though as a kid, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely the first time I'd have watched it. It would have come on TV at night. But yeah, I wouldn't say huge Batman fan. I can't say I'm a comics fan. I'm not a comics fan, not a comics reader.
Think about how much Batman you've seen. And then,
yeah, I mean, I've seen all the films and a lot of like the animated stuff.
You can't like contend with people who've read bunches, loads of comics and furiously Wikipediaing all the sub characters of Batman and what. But you know, like you're as into Batman as I guess everyone else in the world is. Everyone's into Batman,
Yeah.
right? Like it's just it feels weird because he's like the comic book person, or even over Superman now. So you're not the, you're okay. You're not the biggest fan of Batman. You're not like I love Batman more than anything. But you've seen the films that feature him.
Yeah, I enjoy Batman in most things that I watch. And I've seen this film a good handful of times over the years, and I've always enjoyed it.
So this time he's just happy to
happy to come
return
back to it. Yeah.
Yourself. Okay. Abby, yourself, where does this sit with you?
I don't have a very good relationship with this film, but only now do we have the terminology for it. Yeah. But when I watched this originally, the Penguin being a walking Me Too problem didn't really endear him to me very much.
So the fact that this contains disgusting
a tiny, disgusting little man who's horny and gross towards women. I was just like, you know what? Nah.
Oddly prescient. Look,
yeah.
Like now, little Harvey Weinstein bumbling about in this film with his lumpy body,
fish-filled tea bag. Yeah. Aye. So gross and disgusting. So
There's some stuff I did enjoy about it, but it's not one I've rewatched again particularly because of Le Penguin.
Le Penguin. I mean, this one, I find it hard to know. I can't easily put all my Batman, you know, films and TV shows and so forth in an easy order. But this isn't top of the list or high. I think it is good, and it as a child, it's weird, right? Because it feels like a kiddie film, and yet has the most horrific stuff in it.
Yeah,
that doesn't suit children at all. So as a child, it sort of suited me and was maybe a little scary at times, perhaps. And then now I'm like, this is insanely camp. But also, that's a horrific backstory for the Penguin. Jesus Christ, look at him. Jesus
this could
Christ,
be a look at his contender.
Arse crack. It's got like disgusting onesie on. You can see his shit-stained cacks. Oh.
This is probably on the list of movies that people of our generation saw that meant we don't understand and communicate things properly into adulthood. This is one of the things that just fucked us up early on and we never really recovered. Yeah.
Just I think for me, Penguin's fucking hair in this. I hate scraggly, old, disgusting long hair. I mean, long hair, if done right, could look nice, but do we see his head? He's balded, right? He's got Danny DeVito long hair in a sense, isn't he?
I mean, they just extended his normal hairline.
Yeah.
Everything about the character in this film is just like it's just rancid. Like it's
exactly. I mean, this is I haven't seen this heaps and heaps of times, and I didn't remember it being everyone fucking dies, Batman saves no one, and the Catwoman is a zombie more than once. Like I get she has like 9 lives, but she comes back from a suicidal fall, not suicidal, like a fall from a building, but then like fucking vampire cats resurrect her. What are we talking about?
There's nothing like actually supernatural happening.
But she comes back from the dead twice. Like Mac, when Shrek is tossed, right?
Shrek.
when not that Shrek, the less famous Max Shrek. Not Chip. No, his son. I didn't remember his son, Chipwreck. Chip, which sounds like Chipwreck. Anyway, like Catwoman was absolutely like electric chairified at the end of this, and then she's back at the end in silhouette to be like, a zombie Catwoman. I didn't remember that happening. I assumed Batman, you know, threw a batarang and saved everyone. But what sticks with you is all that fucking weird, massive ducks and penguins and massive Christmas presents and circus dickheads and whatnot, isn't it? Jamie, you, I think, were the most excited about doing this. Am I right?
Yeah. This is, so I think I saw the first one first as a, like, as a kid. I remember having it, and I'm sure I've talked about this on years ago when we did Mask of the Phantasm. But I had Batman 89 on VHS in like a big, it had like a big special box.
There were like a t-shirt like, in one side or something.
The plastic was yellow instead of the usual fancy thing, and the cover was just the, you know, the big logo.
Oh, I get you. Like a big VHS box. I was thinking like the double ones. Do you know, like sometimes
it was just bigger than usual. Like it had to have a little like.
Yeah, it has that weird sort of buffer zone around the outside.
Yeah,
I remember those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it had to be like held in place inside the case because the case was so big.
That's so stupid.
I know, from childhood, I'm probably the closest thing to like a Batman fan on the podcast. You know, obviously for various reasons, problematic fave.
Yeah.
Because depending on who's writing Batman, he can be a very compelling character or kind of a really gross one. And also,
I mean, I really like Batman stories of like comics, video games.
And I think, like, Rich mentioned it, and I think it's general consensus for people who are fans of the whole franchise that, like, the 90s animated series, particularly the first few seasons, is like the best version of the character. Because it actually, like, gives him like some humanity. Like he's not just Batman or Bruce Wayne. Like there's a surprising amount of depth to him in that show.
They've got time though. Like they've got umpteen episodes, so it's easier to do so.
This is one that I didn't see in the cinema, obviously, when it came out, because I was a little wussy kid and it looked too scary. But I watched it, on TV, I think, many, many times. And this one always like fascinated me more than the first one because it's just more it's very like horror adjacent, if like it leans very hard into that more, and it does like as I've gotten older and seen it more often, I've appreciated it more because I've started to understand like the camp nature of it and how like it's deliberate. Like Batman 89 is a little bit more restrained. Like it's still kind of silly and wears the fact that it's a Batman film on its sleeve. But this is the one that's like, this is basically just a very horny, gruesome episode of Batman the 60s series. Because it's full of puns and stupid jokes and just fucking absurd stuff. All of the like backgrounds and stuff are like all of the set design and the costume design is similar to the first film, but just dialed up to the absolute limit. It is like the first Batman 89 was so successful that they gave Tim Burton free rein to make whatever film he wanted, and then they got like the cut back, and the producers probably went, "Oh fuck."
Warner Brothers studio was chock full of the sets, were everywhere, and they're all elaborate and huge. It feels like they've thrown a lot of money at this, but I think the hype was there to back it up because people were dying to see it. They wanted to know what everyone's going to look like, you know. So,
and it does, like, for all of its excess, it's, to me, it's one of those rare films that, like, even though it's a particular creative going completely mental with an idea and doing whatever they want, it's one of the rare times where it mostly works because of the tone.
They push the boat out, or the duck boat out, and it pays off because everything looks amazing. It's the maximum you can achieve with physical sets. Like this is the supposedly one of the last big, we're going to use sets for the majority of this, and the costume design is elaborate.
I was going to say, not just the set either, but like, all of the costume design, all of the, even like the makeup, just because that's the thing. Everyone thinks of the Penguin and how fucking grotesque he is in this film. Mm. But even things like fucking Christopher Walken as Max Schreck, his entire look is absolutely mental. Mm.
I could not contain myself when he had on that sort of fake turban at the costume party. I was over.
If you think about the costumes of the characters generally, and then you go, just the costume party alone with all the fucking insane hats we saw. that was enough to blow the budget of a normal movie, those insane costumes.
It does the thing it does lose that I do like about the first film is it doesn't feel as anachronistic, which is one of the things that I like certain Batman things do. The animated series did it a lot as well, is you can't tell when it's supposed to be set.
Right.
Like Batman 89 in a lot of it felt like it was set in like the 30s or the 40s, but had a lot of modern technology. This feels a little bit more modern and just very like gothic and amped up.
Hmm.
And also just, this is, Tim Burton was on a hell of a streak here before he, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But he went like, so he did Beetlejuice, Batman 89, Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns, and then Ed Wood.
Mm.
Like, that's... And I know, Rich, you don't like Beetlejuice, and we'll fight about that on another day.
Not a massive fan of Ed Wood.
But that... Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. But that's, like, five...
No, it's a big hitters.
Hell, like, I... Arguably five of his best films. And then after that, Mars Attacks, which I don't love as much as a lot of people do, but it is good. I do like it. Sleepy Hollow, which I do like. Mm-hmm. And then his remake of Planet of the Apes. And I think that was the...
The wheels started coming off a little bit.
And then Big Fish, which is okay. And then Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, we're in Alice in Wonderland territory.
Don't talk about Alice. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So this is like probably the crest of the wave territory here.
This is possibly, I think, the most Tim Burton film in the good way, not in the Alice in Wonderland or Corpse Bride way.
I agree.
This was just like the perfect thing for him. It was like a perfect storm of things happening.
Villains for him as well. Like, he could have done something with Scarecrow, I guess. But I feel like Penguin and Catwoman are the most suited to his aesthetic.
Yeah, and I think it's more... Like, there's something iconic about Jack Nicholson as the Joker, but he is sort of playing it as an exaggerated version of himself. Whereas Danny DeVito in this is full... Like, he's so committed... And
apparently, he used to eat raw fish on the set of Taxi and molest women. So,
was just an exaggerated version of himself.
And in the booth where he works in the taxi office, he's on a little Batmobile car in there as well. So a lot of it is pulled from real life, actually.
Just this.
This is one of those roles where you really hope he's nothing like his character. Like, literally nothing.
Oh, God. That's what I mean, though. Like, I think I definitely have put films forward before on this podcast, specifically just as, like, hey, Danny DeVito movies. Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. We did Death Smoochie. but like Danny DeVito as a person, I just think he's great. I love Danny DeVito and I love seeing him in stuff. So, and he always seems like he's very like fun and funny to be around. So seeing him as something this absolutely monstrous is just amazing.
Well, he's having fun doing it though, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, and yeah. He totally nails it. Like I might have problems with the character of the Penguin, but you can tell like he was told, make this guy the most awful person in the world, and
yeah,
he did.
He is a fucking goblin, and that's how he plays it.
Yeah, so kudos. Yeah, so Batman, he's had an adventure, took down the Joker in the previous film, And he's returning because there's more villains in Gotham, turns out. Starting with corporate villains. Not we don't keep the comic book freaks who dress up as animals. Oh no, we do actually, in fairness, we do start with the origin story of Penguin, don't we?
Oh, just right out of the fucking gate with this film. The fucking yeah. Danny Elfman, like, all this, oh God. That's another thing as well. Sorry, I just wanted to say, it's talking about everyone going to like the absolute maximum. Danny Elfman's score in this is like the most Danny Elfman score he's done, apart from maybe Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And he even uses some of the same motifs in this as he does in that.
I mean, I feel like Penguin could just pop along to the animated set of Nightmare Before Christmas and fit right in.
Kind of resembles the mayor.
He is yeah. a bit, isn't he? Definitely similarities. He doesn't have that head that could crank round and pull expressions, though.
Yeah, we don't know.
Maybe under that horrible hair. It's a second face like that prick from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Anyway.
That
yeah,
prick.
So we do... We do Bebop, Scribbly Bops, or whatever his name is.
What?
What's the name of the character from fucking...
Zayford Beeblebrox.
There we go.
Oh,
that's what I said.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there is this Moses-like origin story, like this satanic Moses. Adam's Family vibes, I think. Basically,
sort of, yeah.
The Cobblepots are a rich couple living in a, you know, dark mansion, and there's just a birth that's a bit traumatizing, and I think a doctor's almost vomiting at how disgusting this child must be. And the parents, upon realizing their kid is a bit deformed, possibly a bit aggressive, they're like, "Joe, what's the perfect crib for this kid? A roofed crib, a prison,
a box,
a box." But you know, we're still human. We're going to lock our child in a tiny cage, but we'll give him a little rubber duck to look at.
Right at the start of the film, whenever you see like Penguin in his little prison. And then he grabs the cat.
He fucking eats a cat. Like, what are we talking about?
And the shot of the parents. And yeah, the dad is played by Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman. And I think Diane Salinger is the mother. I'm not. Yes. I feel like I should know who she is, but I don't. But that, like, them just watching him eat the cat and then both drinking at the same time, their little, like, dainty martinis.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'm glad we didn't see what baby Penguin looked like, because apparently he eats cats. I don't know, we're vilifying people with disabilities and unusual deformities.
I mean, it's a Tim Burton movie.
Pretty harsh. I mean, you know, but he seems to, I think he has the attitude of a monster. So he isn't just, he's weird.
Yeah, I like the way the film does balance the whole, like, because there are moments where you feel like the Penguin is potentially going to be sympathetic, but the film then goes to like great pains to show you, like, no, even if he had like a full decent upbringing, he would still be like a monster. Like, he's just, there's something just wrong with him.
Yeah, it's really like over the top and silly, but I think that's the point, isn't it? This is a comedy in part anyway, isn't it? So, like, the parents are like, right, we're ditching. Obviously, we can't just murder our child, but we could do the next best thing and go on for a wintry stroll and drop him in a river that washes into the sewers of Gotham in a like ornate black gothic wicker baby stroller basket.
Okay. Not the first thing, but a major thing that I don't understand about this is, how are there penguins in the sewer?
I think that it's under the zoo. Like,
but still.
But, well, the penguins shouldn't have escaped captivity underneath.
Well, the zoo is from what I can tell,
it's a dilapidated zoo.
Yeah, I think the idea is the zoo is abandoned.
If you abandon a zoo, you don't want to abandon the animals there, do you?
Hey, Gotham is a pretty shit place, to be fair.
Maybe it's like Pablo Escobar having introduced hippopotamuses to the region. Now that his like ranch has been abandoned or whatever, there's now hippopotamuses and parrots living there that shouldn't be there.
There's a lot in this film that hinges on, hey, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't ask too many questions. Because also, presumably, the penguins raise and educate Oswald.
Yeah, I mean, we see at the end of the film, they fucking give him a little sea
funeral. Oh, his burial at sea. Yeah.
So, actually, heartbreaking. Well, there's
some... So he's raised by penguins, then he's in a freak show, then he's living under the zoo again, and the mayor of Gotham.
But he's running the zoo like it's the fucking Iceberg Lounge or something, isn't it? It's like,
yes.
Well, this is the thing though, that he's dropped in the sewer as a baby, and he must be, if he's like Mowgli, raised by penguins that live in the Gotham sewer. But this, to me, it seems like the story for like Croc, like, oh, he's horrible, kind of, he's like deformed. And freaky and aggressive.
Well,
and then he lives in the sewers. That should be Croc. Like, yeah, Oswald Cobblepot should just be a deformed tough kid, you know, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I think one of the things that our generation in particular probably didn't realize, if this film was one of the first exposures you had to Batman, was that this version of the Penguin is very much this version of the Penguin. Mm. Like, Penguin in the comics is called that because he has a big nose and is short and kind of squat.
He dresses in, like, dinner jackets
a little waddle. Nickname. Yeah.
And, like, sometimes he's like this British gangster, isn't he, in a lot of adaptations. Oh, God,
in the Arkham games, which are, you know... Well,
they're great
the first
games,
two.
But that bottle in the eye... Just
for a monocle.
Fucks me
well,
off
not only
no
that,
end.
The voice actor is Nolan North, Nathan Drake from Uncharted, and he is doing the worst Cockney accent I think I have ever heard, to the point where I think it's in the third game, you hear his goons talking behind his back, talking about how fake his accent is.
Good work. He basically sounds like Kano from Mortal Kombat in that.
But now we've got the Penguin as played by Colin Farrell, as Tony Soprano as the Penguin. Which is more is more like the actual character. This monstrosity is very much Tim Burton's take on the Penguin.
Yeah. So, Penguin has been set off on a journey. I don't know when saying about it being anachronistic, I don't know what era that was, because we jump on at least, like, you know, 40-odd years from baby origin.
I think it's
story.
33 years, which also means that the Penguin in this movie is supposed to be 33 years old, which also
upset
depressing.
Me. Yeah. He's been Moses out of down the Gotham River and has been Mowgli'd by penguins to mix metaphors. And in the interim, Batman has become a thing. Gotham currently has a lot of corruption no badders. There we go.
Yeah.
No gooders. That makes sense. And so we start off with a story setting up a guy called Max Schreck, not spelt like the green troll. Is this a character from the comic books? It feels like a nothing character that they thought of.
I don't think so, although he may be sort of an amalgamation, possibly, of a couple of different characters. But yeah, I think this is an original creation that is kind of poking fun at specific 80s yuppie types.
Would you say so? Do you
think it's okay, because Harley Quinn wasn't an original character when they put her in the animated series, and
she was a massive hit. Yeah, she
was
created for that series.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's Christopher Walken has some hair.
Fucking hell. This just...
You know how sometimes an actor talks about how when they put the on me, I knew. As soon as they put that wig on him, he was like, I know.
What did you know?
He knew exactly what he had to do.
Well, he played what he does normally, which is Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken it up all over the joint.
Apparently Tim Burton was scared of him.
That's just Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Like, you're not scared of Danny DeVito, especially this makeup. Like, fucking hell.
Yeah, but you know what Danny DeVito's like in real life, whereas like Christopher Walken's like, is that really how you talk? What's happening here?
I love the shit attempt his son, the actor playing his son, has it not doing his accent, but different.
Oh, I know. That everyone has everyone attempts to do a Christopher Walken impersonation. It's hard not to whenever you hear him talk. He's just one of those people.
He's got that way. He's got his down, his patented TM.
And I do. He's deaf. Is this one of the films where he first like really played it up?
I don't know. Like it's always there, so it's hard to say. I don't know.
He's also been working so long. Like who knows?
I mean, we did Dead Zone, and he didn't like it. Still sounded like him, but it not like this.
Like Deer Hunter, I don't think is particularly stands out as a caricatured version of what he sounds like. That's one of some of his early, more serious work, I suppose. Anthony, how do you feel about Shrek here, the badger head? It's not pinstripes, they're marker stripes. How do you even describe like how thick the bit?
He's wearing Beetlejuice's clothes.
Yeah, but Anthony, does Max Shrek seem like a worthwhile character that you enjoy? Does Walken do it for you in this?
Yes, like how much of it is just Christopher Walken? I don't know. I mean, you always enjoy Christopher Walken, no matter what he's in. Mm-hmm. So that's something. But yeah. I like the angle that they have with the character.
Yeah, he's just sort of a generally corrupt, polluting businessman who doesn't care about stuff. He wants to make a power plant, but Gotham doesn't need one. But that doesn't faze him.
But when Selina was still his secretary, the thing that got her killed was that she looked at some of the protected files and found out that it was actually some kind of capacitor to draw energy out of the city.
Yeah,
and we never find out why.
I think the idea is he wants to bank all of the energy and then like be the person in control of doling it out.
So he's got some, you know,
like he technically had, like he would be behind the mayor or whatever, but he technically would have the city by the balls because he would have its power supply. And he could dole it out as much as he wanted. And he's selling it as the idea of like, you know, a benevolent businessman who's doing the best for the city by supplying them with power that they need or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the, like the biggest problem I have with this film isn't actually like the characterization or anything like that. It's that you're not sure what people are doing most of the time or why they're doing it.
Well, he's there to be an in for Cobblepot isn't an established, clever political man. He's like a sewer monster. And so he's there, you know, he's rough around the edges and he's basically a shit gangster. And so you need this character to be he's nominally kidnapped by Penguin, but basically Penguin blackmails him into doing what he wants, and then he's like, all right, I'll run with this. I can market you to the public as the new mayor, and you can, you know, be a, you know.
Yeah, and Oswald has his own plot for like revenge for what happened to him by kidnapping all the firstborn sons.
Again, like the names. Biblical, King Herod this time.
And then when that doesn't work, he sends penguins into the city.
Fuck me.
Rocket penguins.
I don't know why I forgive this film that and then get annoyed by like Batman Forever.
it's all pretty bad. I get Christopher Walken a little bit confused, this character, with his character, Bond villain character. They are
very similar, you're right.
Sort of mix up in my head.
Zoran.
Yeah.
Is he called Max again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is basically the same character.
Slightly different hairs, cool fashion. Not that different, really. I think this Christopher Walken business, he's very quick to, he doesn't seem to care that Penguin kidnapped him. He's worried about the blackmail for sure, but he's like, oh, he kind of runs with it and he becomes like, he's very accommodating of Penguin. He's like, oh yeah, fuck it. Now that I'm like, it's a really, he goes with it after he's been kidnapped and should be very angry. But then the kidnapping is quite strange because doesn't he, like, he falls down a drain? Like, he's scared off.
Yeah. It's like when
a big circus
when,
attacks. Like he's there to do a press thing, and he's giving out chucking presents and trying to give a speech to make the people of Gotham and the press like him, and some circus freaks and clowns. And I'm like, is this gimmick infringement for the Joker? Should we not be? Is it not Joker's thing to have like a circus head?
Well, this film actually canonically goes after the first one, which is so rare in DC. But I assumed it was just all of those guys needed work. So they worked for the Penguin.
Yeah,
Carnival Carnies, right, was the idea. They were like carnival gang of criminals who raised him in part
When I was younger, part of what I thought of this as more of a sequel to the first one than it really is, because it kind of, apart from like some, you know, some of the dialogue does reference the first film and stuff about like Vicky Vale and stuff, but it's generally like it kind of stands by itself. But when I was a kid, I interpreted it as these, like, this gang was like inspired by the Joker.
Yeah, but they're just clowns and carnival people.
It's not. Yeah,
I don't. It seems too similar to what Joker does. But then in the comics, I feel like they always are visiting this. Like, they're always like the henchmen should be ridiculous, and the carnival is always a fun theme for the villains of Gotham.
And it's Tim Burton, you know, scary carnival music and scary clowns, and like, of course.
There was the alternative, like they all dress up like birds for some fucking reason, or like, I guess, ice themed. I don't know.
Oh my god!
Or just in tuxedos, like all of them.
Yeah,
that
I don't
would
know.
Kind of make more sense.
But it's what they take such a back seat. But Penguin has always got like a little, not harem, but like a little group of he's always dining with his circus freak friends.
Yeah, there's all of hanging around.
There's just a little entourage of the circus gang. So it's like,
and that one woman with the dog.
The woman who ghosts literally ghosts him at the end of the film, where she slides back into the darkness when they all abandon him.
And was she like in the circus? She's the animal handler with a dog. Is the dog a circus thing?
I don't know. The dog does tricks. It catches the batarang.
That's pretty good. It's pretty pimping. And like they got an organ grinder with a machine gun. That's pretty fun.
That's Vincent Scavelli. That is
looks
amazing.
Yeah. Like, it's just if that bloke from the Magic Roundabout went evil.
Yeah.
Just started killing people. It's weird, the death toll in this is a lot of it's Batman setting people on fire or letting people die.
Yeah, we actually, before we get to the Max Schreck being kidnapped, the introduction of Batman in this film is he is a murderous maniac. Just fucking, he sets one guy on fire. A bit later in the film, he blows a guy up.
It's all well and good punching guys with big skull heads on to the ground. That's fine. You know, leaving people tied up for the police is fine. But like, he's murdering fools, isn't he? Don't worry about it.
That's the thing. It's always been this sort of, he won't kill people, but he won't necessarily save them either. You're like,
that's the Batman Begins cop out. Of like, I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you. And then he lets him fucking immediately, like he leaves so that, what's his name, Ra's al Ghul has 4 seconds to get off the train.
the same but, like, 4 seconds you gave me, James. Sorry, wait.
But,
no.
I don't know, I find myself not giving much of a shit about the whole fake, like, oh, Batman doesn't kill. Like, he doesn't kill, but he, like, brutally beats people.
He dresses up like
all
a fucking bat and uses mad gadgets. Yeah, he's a dickhead.
Like, you can do a lot with the whole Batman doesn't kill thing if you're doing it right, but if you're making a film like this, fucking fuck it. What's the point?
They use the logic of whatever looks cool is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we're going to have people smashing through walls and into
speaking things. Of... It does. This film made me miss the big yellow and black Batman logo on his chest. I wish one of the newer films would bring that back.
Mm.
It looks so cool, and like, I know why they got rid of it, because it does. It's very garish, sure. But like,
even anti-stealth as well.
Well, that was one of the things I pretty sure it was in a comic or something, that they explained why it's so obvious is it's to get criminals to shoot him where the armor is thickest.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, like putting a target in a urinal so people piss in the right place.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly the right. Same.
Anthony, where do you stand on the look of Batman in his rubber stiff-necked suit? Do you think it looks good? Do you care? Do you buy the Batman image in this one?
I buy it for the most part as part of the general aesthetic.
Anytime he doesn't have
film.
To turn his head.
Yeah, I mean, you know, knowing like all the trivia of the film, you watching it this time, you are kind of watching him going like, oh, is he? Yeah, he did the awkward turn. There's that, but I don't think you would notice that generally. I think one of the big problems of this film is I feel like Tim Burton has lost interest in the character of Batman.
Oh, 1,000%. This is not about Batman at all. Yeah. No. Like Bruce Wayne himself, in a very rare instance, Bruce Wayne gets more character development than Batman does in this one.
What was it? I wrote it down. I think it was that you see Batman at the start, and then you don't see him again until 34 minutes into the film.
Yeah, because it's all Penguin and Catwoman.
Yeah. It's unheard of.
Bruce Wayne watching the news with his glasses on, making judgments and coming up with ideas.
Glasses.
I really, really like Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne, especially in this film. Like, this is probably the most likable Bruce Wayne has ever been outside of the animated series.
It's the only time I've ever wanted there to be a 50-50 split between a romantic comedy in Batman and an actual action film. Just him and Selina Kyle having these weird, like, missed opportunities and misunderstandings.
Yeah,
incredibly compelling.
I know, I really... And I was surprised watching it this time, because I'd never thought about it watching it previously, but I genuinely bought their relationship. And it was making me think, God, I wish Tim Burton had been able to make his like third in the trilogy, because that would have also mean we'd have got what's his name is Two-Face. Lando Calrissian.
Billy D. Williams.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, because he's Harvey Dent in the first movie. The reason Two-Face is in Batman Forever is because he was planned as one of the villains Tim Burton's third movie, and God, what we fucking missed out on with Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face.
Could have been fun.
That would have been
instead
amazing.
Of that fucking strange Tommy Lee Jones performance.
On that subject, just as a tangent.
Also, Billy Dee Williams does get to play Two-Face in the Lego stuff.
That's cute.
Yeah, the Lego Two-Face is the Billy Dee Williams Batman 89
design. Yes! Yeah.
So we did get him, just not in his full glory as the coolest Two-Face there's ever been on screen.
And the other villain, of course, we get Tim Burtonized is Catwoman. So Michelle Pfeiffer gets set up initially as not a secretary, but an executive assistant who is basically a tea-serving gopher for Shrek. One of the really funny scenes I like with Michelle Pfeiffer is her going home to her flat as as Kyle, and then being pissed off with her answer phone, and like she does all of her routine for coming home, feeding the cat and stuff, and then when she's gone crazy and is about to become the Catwoman, comes back, does it all, but with more like
insane.
Knocking things over and pouring milk everywhere and just breaking things, and I like that they have that. And I like seeing her having this overbearing mother that phones her all the time in this sad little life, and that she actually just needs a bit of bondage to save herself from
mundanity.
Thank you.
Is this, even though like obviously the Penguin is probably the most striking and disgusting character in this film, and Batman's kind of forgotten about, is this really Michelle Pfeiffer's movie?
It is, isn't it? I mean, that suit like change a lot of people's lives.
I was about to say that is more than one generation of men that were just having a little shiver and a shake in the cinema because they didn't know what was happening to them.
the suit that she was fucking vacuum sealed into, which sounds horrendous. Oh, yeah. And also she couldn't hear, so she would shout all of her dialogue.
Yeah,
but not just that, like, not just the portrayal and performance of Catwoman, but like the switch from how she plays Selina Kyle and then how she plays insane Selina Kyle. And also the stuff when she's out of the Catwoman uniform where she's like barely holding it together, and how much they contrast that with how comfortable Bruce Wayne is leading this double life.
Yeah.
Like, a bit where they're dancing and they work out who is the way that it just twists and turns in that one scene where
to a Susie and the Banshees song.
Yeah. Physically they're doing almost nothing.
Yeah.
But so much is happening in that exchange. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I wish there'd have been a third, because Burton was clearly setting this up to, like, you know, kind of do it the way Nolan does it at the end of Dark Knight Rises, where him and Catwoman like retire and disappear together.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he murders her doesn't help that, but he brings her back as well. So you have to have Batman and Catwoman fail to get together, and she has to stay partly as a criminal, I think.
There's always that will they, won't they tension with them, and this film does it very well.
Yeah, I think most Bat fans will be like, oh, Selina Kyle and Batman can get together eventually.
That whole meltdown she has after she's been pushed out of the window and then goes back to the apartment and recreates the same scene as before. And then it's the message on the answer machine about perfume and how, like, the boss will ask you to stay after work after her boss has just pushed her out a fucking window. And yeah, her going completely mental and just trashing her apartment. It's so good. It's such a good performance. It's so committed.
Yeah, you know, she's sort of likable in her, with female empowerment story arc of I've been this pathetic loser and now I'm going to fucking suddenly dress up in bondage gear and deck people and rob stuff and kick people and fucking have martial arts skills out of nowhere and whip people.
Yeah.
A lot of women in that time period were taking self-defense classes and other sort of combat training because it's not safe on the streets.
I was going to say, rightfully so.
There's fucking carnies running around with machine guns and stuff. It's crazy.
Oh, I'm all over
there's
the place.
There's fucking penguins with rockets on their backs. Need more than martial arts skills.
The bit where she gets the taser, where she's being held hostage and Batman shoots the grappling hook behind that guy's head. You missed. And then he pulls the chunk of cement out and knocks the guy out. And she has the taser.
She had a little play.
Oh, it's so good. I love how abused she is whenever she shows. Like, she looks like she's, oh, that's naughty.
Just shame, because the stuff I like about this film, I really like, but it's just so confused.
The film never, even though it's like just over 2 hours long, it never takes a breath. Like, it's just going constantly. Whereas the first one, I think probably to its benefit, even though I personally prefer this one, how slowly the first one takes certain things helps the way it like unfolds. Like, the pace in this one is too furious and it's so mental that you're like, hang on, it's halfway through the film and I'm just about learning to cope with what the penguin looks like, so I've lost the plot of what everyone's doing, because he's leaking black stuff from his mouth. What's happening?
Is it black stuff or is it green stuff?
Both.
That's the thing.
Seemingly
he bleeds red. But from his mouth, he does have this sort of green-black sludge.
He's just full of goo. He's like a bin bag full of nappies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's so gross. So,
I understand him eating raw fish, having a bit of, like, disgusting breath. And, he's a bit feral and sewery. I understand. But not bleeding green from the mouth, I don't get. He's not a toxic mutant Avenger, is he, or whatever?
I...
He does freely handle toxic waste.
That's true. Shrek is dumping toxic. Part of his blackmail is I've pasted together a bunch of things you've shredded, and also this
okay.
open toxic waste I have for you that I know you're in.
I did want to talk about that little scene where he first meets Max Shrek and explains that, like, I have all of the stuff you've tried to get rid of because I live in the sewer.
Everything you flush away or whatever.
Including your partner's hand, who you had killed and chopped to pieces. Ugh.
There's loads of jokes with it as well.
Yeah, I know. The fucking handshake where he gives him the hand and then walks off. It's...
Walker looks at it. It's just... What?
He doesn't even mind, really. It's just... Lol.
Oh, God.
But this is the thing. The main plot is focused on Shrek being like, oh, okay.
You have to start calling him Max Shrek. You can't just call him Shrek. It's fucking...
Max Shrek.
No. His name is Shrek.
Oh, God.
It's in big letters on the buildings and shit.
With his big Felix the Cat company logo, I guess.
Yes, why? Just so they can have Catwoman be like, look, I'm like the
knockoff
Felix the Cat logo. What's it got to do with anything?
I think that's it.
There's a big rotating one on one of the buildings as well. Like,
and some clocks.
Shrek the Cat. I don't get it. Anyway, fucking... The idea is, the sewer... So Penguin has to have a rehability. He's this cryptid as far as the people of Gotham are concerned. There's this legend of a man who lives in the sewer, a penguin man, that people have seen, and he's been... You know, we get a slow build to him appearing. I like they hold off. They show him watching Alfred in the streets and like hiding in the sewers. So basically, Penguin is this hideous monster that people are scared of and not sure if it is real. And then he has his coming out party where, needlessly, an acrobat steals a baby, pops down the sewer. Everyone stares at it into the sewer while it cries.
They stare in there for an eternity.
Maybe the sewer will burp the child out. Maybe we don't have to do anything if we just look down there. And then Penguin has like a lift for which to bring himself up through the sewer and hand the baby back. No one questions, like, oh, what happened? Did you... Why did...
No, they hear it. They hear the clown say, no, please just take the baby. Don't hurt me.
So why was the clown taking the baby? How did Penguin stop him?
Well, they don't know. Yeah, they don't know that Penguin's involved with the gang. So, like, the gang kidnapping the baby is just to fuck with the mayor, and then the Penguin heroically swept in and got the baby from the guy, and the guy was scared of him because he's the Penguin. He's a freak.
Okay. And everyone's just like, face value, that's cool. We've judged this guy wrong. He may look hideous and terrifying, have weird deformed hands and be squat and look like Danny DeVito. With really, like, he needs to have some sleep because those eye bags and it's black around his eyes. Look, you know, come on now.
I can't express how much I both love and hate the makeup on Danny DeVito in this film.
Yeah, the guy wears a top hat as well. That's another heel move. Fuck off. Can't like a guy with long hair wears a top hat, for fuck's sake. But he needs an image turnaround. He needs to revamp, and the idea is he's going to run for mayor so Shrek can have an insider guy, and he's corrupt enough to be able to wrangle an election at the wrong time of year or something. And then they have like Shrek accepts that Penguin looks like this and hangs around with circus freaks. And so he pops up to see him, and he's like,
also, you know, writes for some reason with a gigantic feather quill pen.
he's a la-di-da guy, you know?
And uses a monocle, just like in the old version of the Penguin.
Yeah, but you know, Max is like, right, let's make the best out of a bad situation. This can work in my favor. And he doesn't seem that worried about Penguin being a freak, and the fact that Danny DeVito as the Penguin makes horrible noises all the time.
Oh, I mean, it's not.
Can we not work on his diction, please?
Hold on a minute, because you say that noise. That's not the noise that bothers me. It's the
the disgusting, but Beavis and Butthead humping noises.
Yes.
Oh, and the and eating the fish. Oh, Jesus Christ! It's disgusting.
So like Max sees the Penguin at his typewriter. Oh no, his quill. Sorry, yeah.
He's in this typewriter. Little, fuck that. It is writing like, longhand.
You're right. Flipper hand.
Long flipper.
Anyway, he's like, right. I gotta. This guy's a fucking dummy, but he's the local hero now because he came out of a sewer with a child. Let's run with this. Now he's like, he gets a fish out of his pocket, like treats him like a little dog or something, or a cat, or well, a penguin. But like, you know, gets a raw fish out to lure a man who's in like that. What was that? Like underwear?
That horrible onesie thing he's wearing.
It's
that
got
is...
like the tie and the shirt bit of like a dining outfit, but also it's just underwear. But with a massive court, which is the court looks great because a long court of Danny DeVito like dragging against the ground, and he looks like he smells, but it's still he's dressed like a dainty man. Anyway, like he's like, I'll give the raw fish to this idiot, then bring him down the spiral staircase to meet the revamped. Somehow they've set up like a voting office, you know,
yeah, the
a
mayoral
campaign office.
Campaign, yeah.
Unbeknownst to Penguin, who presumably goes downstairs sometimes. But they've knocked up a normal, nice-looking 80s-ish vibe, you know, campaign office. And he's,
that's
like,
what's
he
so extra
him...
weird.
Yeah.
Because, like, when they're having the press conferences, everyone's wearing the little, like, the trilbies with the little pieces of paper with the press thing on it. And they've got the old cameras. And then you have this... office with the campaign in it that looks like the most 80s thing I've seen.
All of the obnoxious like people Shrek's got to patronize Penguin and change him but they're still like, you know, yes men and try to be nice to him even though he's weird looking. And it's just that strange, why is Shrek brought him down? Like it is, you know, dirty cigarette and fucking fish stained onesie, eating raw fish. Like, you don't have to present him at his worst with his, like, 10 years younger makeover.
So this is one of the bits when I was a kid, when I first saw it, that scared the shit out of me, which is the now possibly one of my favorite moments of the film because it's so sudden and it's so... it's so violent, but the guy it happens to is also such a smarmy fucker as well.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Oh, the nose thing.
Oh, God. And yeah, it's him alternating between being really fucking horny for that woman and then really disgusted with this guy. And to be fair to the Penguin, the guy is making fun of him. Mm. Like, you know, not a lot of reflective surfaces down in the sewer, eh? Ugh.
Yeah, he deserves to have his nose bit off, you're right.
Bites his nose, and the fucking... jet of blood that comes out.
See, just seeing Penguin's little face do it as well as his little beaky nose. Oh, don't fuck with penguins.
I mean, yeah, it does. It does a good job of establishing that, like, he's not just a weird, dumpy idiot. Like, he's dangerous.
Vicious, yeah. And it's a big task for them to make him over. And they do just put him in a nice suit. But you go, come on, we're cutting that hair, we guys. Like, actually do a good job of making...
There's more to do here.
There's more. He kind of is about to wear a suit, guys. You need to make a few buttons and posters and have him do a speech where the microphones are too high for him. Like, fucking actually...
I would have fired so many people if they put me behind that podium and it was higher than me. Everyone's fired. All of you.
I almost would criticise the mayoral campaign, but now... we live in a time where Trump has been elected president.
So,
and you go, oh, if Donald Trump can look like that and be elected, then yeah, Penguin, no big deal.
Boris Johnson, too.
Yeah, I mean, Boris Johnson doesn't look like the same Batman villain that Trump... Like, Trump's got that orange face, the mad hair. He's just electric.
Hang on a minute.
He is the Penguin.
Boris Johnson doesn't have mad hair.
Wait.
No, he doesn't have this... Like, Boris Johnson just has weird
Boris
hair.
Johnson...
Yeah, he looks like an exploded...
He looks like it's his hair.
Yeah. It does. It looks
with,
straight.
With Trump, sure. It doesn't look like it's his hair.
It is weird. Because I said this, as I was watching it, like, there are a lot of films from this era and before that, you know, well before Donald Trump was president and all of that stuff, like, when he was, like, the typical, like, almost the poster guy for... 80s yuppies, you know what I mean? Like, he was 80s businessman with it, like, that's what he was. And there were so many things in pop culture even then that made him the villain or were like parodying him in some way. Obviously, Biff in Back to the Future Part 2 is probably the best known one. But also, Max Schreck in this is like kind of doing the same thing, but also it's like Schreck and the Penguin in this. It's sort of an amalgamation of.
It seems very, very Trumpian. Asking, like, decorating a man who clearly looks awful is villainous, and then you're like, ah, but he's palatable because we say he is, and it's just, it's mad how relevant it feels to how politics works now, especially how everyone it looks like a Batman villain, as you pointed out.
That was the bit a bit later on where Bruce Wayne plays the audio of him saying, I played this stinking city like a heart from hell. Like, the idea that that would sink a political candidate is very quaint now.
Yeah, that seems like the comic book fiction now, that you can say the, like, recording Penguin saying, I'd grab her by the pussy, you'd be like, yeah, you'd still get elected, you're all right.
You turn it around and you know, the Penguin saying, all of you, you're all fucking stupid. You know, we all know now that the people voting for that person would go, yeah, you're right, we are, yay!
Like, all you need is Penguin to start saying he's going to build a wall and take on woke people, and but he's in there like swimwear, isn't he? You know.
The next thing Penguin should do is buy Twitter.
Let's not. Just fuck that idiot. Fucking let's not. Anthony, I haven't heard much from you in a while. How are you feeling? Revisiting this story? Did the electoral campaign work? Did you like what they were doing? Were you happy revisiting it? Did any of it like disappoint this time round?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I was taken by like how goofy it was, and I don't what sticks with you is kind of like the dark kind of gothic aesthetic. So you kind of, as you know, having watched it for a long time, you assume that like that's what all the movie is like. So, you know, when you get the moments that are straight out of, like, the 60s show, it's a bit weird. I can't say I didn't enjoy them.
No.
I still kind of loved them. And honestly, it was still working for me. Like, when I put the film on and I noticed it was 2 hours, I was like, oh,
that's too much.
Too long.
Yeah. I mean,
it didn't feel like that to me.
So much happens in that 2 hours. Sometimes too, it's detriment. Like, it's overwhelming,
and you miss out on a bit of, you know, Batman takes a backseat, but you've got three villains and a load of mad action and goofy shit and imagery and sets and stuff. So it heaps a lot into that. There's a lot of bat for your buck, isn't there? Really, I do think though. Like you, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be Tim Burton-y gothic. But I was like, oh, no. Like you said, Jamie, and like Anthony's agreeing with, this is 60s Batman.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a little more twisted and dark. It's not quite as wham, pow, hooray. There's like death and grotesquery. But it's basically gags and colourful clothes and madness. Like, I mean, really is a comic book movie. They hadn't figured out could do something else with them yet.
It's not what Christopher Nolan was trying to do, or now even what Matt Reeves is doing.
But this
with
had
the
to
character.
Come first. You have to do Batman this way. And Tim Burton giving it a huge budget, practical sets. I mean, we get that bit of weird CGI with the Batmobile at one point, but it doesn't go in. It does it all practically. And I mean, occasionally, I think Batman looks a bit odd in his rubber suit running around.
I think this is from an era when, even though they were obviously filmed in high definition, it wasn't filmed for high definition. No one thought that people would have a TV in their house that could do like 4K or fucking 8K or whatever. And now you can really see the suit.
Yeah, and it really feels like a movie at times.
I like that. That's what I like.
There were some moments just. Only a few moments where Batman would kind of just like walk around the corner or just come on the screen and stop. Those were the most awkward bits.
Yeah.
You know what? I love seeing, I wish it was in these older films more. And it's one of the things I loved about the Matt Reeves recent The Batman is I love seeing Batman dressed as Batman, but doing like mundane things. Because it's such a freaking absurd image. It's one of my favorite things in the Batman is him just like investigating, holding a normal flashlight. But yeah. He's dressed like Batman.
It's like, oh, you're an autistic man.
This,
you're
not.
You're different to everyone. You're very much on the spectrum. And we respect you, but it just, Batman can, you know, hang out on a gargoyle or, you know, loom in the shadows or jump out or fight. Or sky, you know, paraglide. Although he's a bit wacky when he fucking gets his bat wings out of nowhere and flies down to the ground. But so, like, Batman cannot walk in a normal room or setting and stand up and talk normal without it being bizarre.
Have we talked about how he ejected half of his car to get it through that gap?
That's odd. He has a toboggan mode for his Batmobile.
it's very similar to he does it in The Dark Knight. Where the Batmobile, the tank, turns into the bike. Yeah.
That's somehow more plausible, somehow.
I mean,
it's a tank to bike is not so mad as toboggan. When is that? It comes in handy, though. And then all the cars in this feel like they're made of cardboard.
Yeah.
Because the cop cars crash and they all float up in the air.
We were talking about how it very much looks like a movie at times, which is one of the things that I do really like about it is I love being able to see when something is a set, not like in a cheap way, but like it's very specifically contained.
I don't love it, but escape it in this. Like, I don't, you know, I like to, I don't, you're not going to not feel like it's a movie at any point, but I feel like the stunts feel like, look, they set up this mad, look how much effort and craftsmanship has gone into this stunt for this scene here. And it's just like, that's crazy. Like, it's impressive. It does nothing for immersion, but like, people are dressed up as cats and bats and stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if immersion's the point necessarily. Also, I've said it before, the fucking matte paintings, one of the things I miss about old school movie making, all of those amazing vistas of the like painted Gotham City in the background.
Well, it's
so
good.
Cool. There's so much like craft that goes into it.
That's true.
And the unnecessary.
Burton, sorry, Abby.
And the unnecessary decor. Like they're walking through a little alleyway at ground level, and there's a giant stone face on the side of the building.
So I think people usually associate the big muscular stone men statues with Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, but they are in this too.
Yeah, it's the Gotham vibe, isn't it? Like we're the big buildings all have to have sculpture involved with them, don't they? And there's lots of big sculptures like outside of the corporate buildings as well. You know, it's Gotham should be full of that sort of thing. So I appreciate them not, you know, shrugging it off as something to do.
The thing, because Abby was talking about, I can see why you would have a hard time keeping up with the plot. And I think part of the reason I don't is because I've seen this so many times. So I just know now what the story is.
It's not so much keeping up as I don't think they put in the necessary legwork with some of this.
Yeah,
so you can follow it, but you have to do the work.
Yeah,
when plots, they should have really
like subplots are beginning throughout the movie. Like the whole thing with not only do you have the mayoral campaign and all that stuff, but then you have Catwoman and the Penguin working together to turn Batman into like a villain.
Michelle Pfeiffer putting a live bird in her mouth,
really doing it as well. Also, the Penguin trying to get in.
Oh, God, trying to cop off with a Catwoman.
Raw sexual charisma. It's so gross.
Just the pussy I was looking for.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is a fucking children's film at root, and then it's like pussy jokes. It is Trump, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus Christ. And the fact, like, at no point does Penguin think no one wouldn't want to fuck me.
Oh, God, no.
He's
going to teach them the confidence of the man.
He's going to teach them his French flipper trick.
That's the worst one. He means fingering with a flipper, doesn't he? Oh my God! Fucking wrong.
Which also suggests that the Penguin is at least somewhat experienced. Because
the weird dog wrangler woman? Like, who is he fucking?
I mean, other penguins. He talks like he knows.
He's watched Anything you flush away, aka pornography, you flush like, away, he's found and he's looked at it. And
Bruce Wayne is the one, you know, that as usual comes across as very sexually inexperienced and awkward.
Yeah, I mean, just that is green that the worst mouthed, one this beaky nose getting in the way of everything.
Oh my god! So is that the worst one?
Yes.
From my point of view,
or.
Oh, from your point of view, as a woman, terrifying.
No. From what do you mean? When Catwoman is talking, he completely ignores everything she says except for the word lotion. No, ointment.
Ointment.
She uses the word ointment, and he goes to get lotion for sex. I was just like, not only have you not listened, you've honed in on one word, and it isn't even the word that you mean.
Him throwing it around in the background is pretty impressive, though, considering the costume he's in.
He really jumps about, and I think it's probably because he's in a suit that's all padded, so it gives him a bit of leeway to bish and bash and things. So, but he really throws himself to DeVito with this. I mean, might be a stuntman occasionally, but it looks like he's throwing himself into crowds and things.
Of the gross sexual references, are those the worst ones, or is it Christopher Walken saying unlimited poontang?
He's trying to appeal to Penguin.
Sure.
That's true.
Is not his opinion necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that he uses that specific word is very odd.
It's odd. I mean, what annoyed them, the thing I thought was the worst about Max Schreck was when he hasn't had his speech because Selina Kyle forgot to give it to him. He's like,
Blame Watson him.
Take it out on Watson.
Take it out on her.
It's his fault. He understands.
Not talk to her or give her a route, but like, yeah, the fuck, I'm really going to relish being a cunt about it, even though speech is fine.
It's one of the things that I do not like, but I like about how they make Schreck a monster as well in a different way, is that, like, he is also irredeemable. Like, there's no... And because the film is so cartoonish, like, there's no dimension to him as a villain. He's just not. I'm just horrible.
It's a nice... His son is almost redeemable. His son is like a good egg. He's willing to go as a hostage instead of his son. That's a good...
I was going to say, that's one of the things that made me think, well, maybe he's not quite Donald Trump, because
Trump would not be doing that.
He would push his children in the way of danger to save himself.
True.
His son is not a good egg. His son is just an egg.
His name's Chip. For fuck's sake.
He's burly as all hell.
Oh, and he has the same hair, but smaller.
For a minute, I thought they'd... You know all the prosthetics they put in people for Dick Tracy? I thought they'd done that to Cary Elwes. And then Cary Elwes was his son. And then I found out, actually looks like that.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks, even though he's not wearing prosthetics, he looks like he is. I think that's true of most people in this film, though. Like, there's just something about the way Tim Burton has dressed and made people up.
Why does... Like, we know that Selina Kyle meets Bruce Wayne because he's at a meeting telling Schreck to be like, look,
I'm going to fight you on this. He's fucking cool guy throwing the folder at Max Schreck and, I really like Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne.
But
perfectly illustrated the problem of having a desk that is a circle with no middle.
True.
Just flinging stuff across the office. There you go.
But why does Batman and... But why does Batman become the enemy of Catwoman and whatnot? Like, we know that Bruce and Kyle are getting on because they go to that masquerade ball, they're the ones without masks. Or isn't that clever? Like, the people who wear masks, people who wear masks in the day are the ones not wearing masks for some reason in the ball where everyone wears masks. So they get on, and then why does Catwoman and Batman not get on?
She's doing a lot of property damage, isn't she?
Yeah,
because she's going nuts in a mall or whatever.
Yeah. Mm.
She's also
doing some vigilante stuff too, but not in the way Batman does, because she saves that woman, but then is also like, well, it's kind of your fault you got attacked. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
You put it out there to you want it to be Muggs. She basically says you wanted Batman to save you. Or something.
You make it so easy, don't you? Because you think some Batman's going to save you.
Yeah,
she hand palms her as well, the face. Or something.
This is hell. Oh no, she scratches that guy's face, tic tac toe, and then punches him.
But the woman, she like you know palms in the face, I think as well.
There are several instances of people being palmed in the face this film, and I'm all for it.
You need that more often. Just people shoving someone's face away with their whole hand.
Anyway, Catwoman take it against Batman because you know she's taken inspiration from him and then doesn't like him.
Well, she doesn't. Yeah, she's the new.
She's the new one
vigilante in town and wants him to fuck off. Because I think there's also an element where like she finds it patronizing, which is also very well illustrated when he punches her and then she's like, "How could you? I'm a woman." And he immediately goes, "I'm sorry." Seeing Batman awkwardly apologize was very funny to me.
That's good stuff. And then you know they have a rooftop fight. That's good. Tick. It's not all that exciting, really. I mean,
I'm sure it's very difficult for both of them to be physical in those outfits. But
sure they have like
horny fights where like she licks his face and feels him up and then stabs him a bit. And
he gets he gets a little cat nail. I mean, this is the weird thing. She kind of does a little bit of.
Why doesn't she put the main part inside the glove and stick the point out the end?
She's wasting so much money having to buy more of those.
Yes.
Yeah, she's just a cute art fashion girl who makes fun stuff and she does, you know, she has a little session making a Cruella de Vil, you know, outfit. Not Cruella de Vil, you know, like she's going all Cruella de Vil. And
yeah, it's all I like the, they do it a little bit later on where they show them both like suiting up into their respective outfits where she's driving in her car because it's from whenever they have a date at his house and they both have to leave because of what the Penguin does. And she's supposed to meet Penguin and he's going out to stop Penguin and it shows him going down into the basement and all of his like fancy suits and his setup and everything while she's like what?
I remembered something. There's a moment where Bruce gets into an Iron Maiden chute to get down to the Batcave.
I was going to talk about
takes
this.
Takes the stairs. Yeah. Alfred is there 5 seconds after Bruce. There's no reason for him to have an Iron Maiden chute.
Such a loser.
I was going to talk. I said exactly the same thing out loud to my wife when we were watching this. I was like, "Batman's just is Bruce Wayne's just a child. Like he has all of these like slides and shit to get to the basement, and Alfred just goes downstairs."
Also, how easy would it be to booby trap an Iron Maiden to? Oh no, spikes to detract. You've tore your face off.
They didn't need to. He was already standing there.
I know.
The doors are closed.
I really like. I don't know if there's been like a bad Alfred in any of the movies. Like they've all been different shades of a good portrayal of this character. But in this film in particular, I really like how tired Alfred is of Bruce Wayne. he's so just fucking all right.
Well, he said he's a terrible. Go on, Abby.
Are you sure you want to do that? Do we really need to? Should we turn off the television with the vigilante on it? It's like, no, I'm going out. Of course you are.
Yeah, we could. You could put on like catchphrase or 3-2-1 or something, but no.
The
news.
Him giving him the soup and Bruce being like, "It's cold. It's vichyssoise, sir. It's supposed to be cold."
Also, Batman seems like the sort of guy who's always eating cold soup because he's too busy working all the time.
Yeah, that's just Alfred saying, "I've stopped bothering to make hot food for you.
It's only cold food for you now."
You're lucky I'm not giving you dog food at this point.
And one thing I noticed for the first time out of all the franchises ever, this is the first time I realised it's really weird there are no other staff at Wayne Manor. How the fuck is Alfred maintaining that building on his own?
I mean, honestly, I don't think Bruce uses a lot of it.
That's what I was saying.
He's probably in the Batcave most of the time.
He's mothballed whole rooms.
Yeah. Yes.
You lock away the East Wing, you know, like in a novel, and you have the maids come in, the rest, and do everything else in it, you know. Every now and again, they find a batarang, and they're like, weird.
He's a collector.
Yeah.
God, there are a lot of good Alfred moments in this. The other one is whenever they both leave the date, and like he's trying to make excuses to Alfred to tell her, and then she comes up and she's trying to make excuses to tell Alfred. She's trying. It's not a rejection. It's make up something to tell him, a sonnet or a dirty limerick. And after she says the dirty limerick line, he's like, "One has just sprung to mind." He's
Yeah, the one writing them all the ones we knew through our childhood. He wrote them.
Yes, because Michael Gough, who was in two more Batman films after this, in this film looks like he's 104.
There once was a man from Kentucky
There
who
once was a man
something.
from Gotham.
Yeah, and how can I rhyme this with cat that is a fucking dirty slut? I don't know. Like he, anyway, Alfred is a disgustoid. That's fine.
Him turning saying we've just got an invitation from that loathsome Max Schreck.
Oh, and
Now
when he tears up the invitation, and then
oh,
Batman's like, actually, I will go on then. But Alfred's
maybe
like, oh, I just tore it up, mate.
fuck's sake, yeah.
You couldn't have said just before I tore it up, you're gonna go.
Oh God, hey, it's great. I love their relationship in this.
Well, I can't remember. So Penguin does give up trying to be a good mayor,
Well,
but is
that
that
Batman outs
before?
him.
Right. But is this before or after he decides he's gonna stitch up Batman to look like the
That's
villain?
before. That's where he gets the audio from, because Batman, because the Penguin takes over the Batmobile in his tiny, like outside of a supermarket, Batman ride thing.
It's amazing. I love
It's so good.
like I
Why
was
did he
thinking
have it?
like
Where
Bat
did he get it? Because he's a carny. That's why.
This is the thing, that him being with a car carnival villains makes sense of him ha having a like he rides a giant
Yeah.
rubber duck boat
Yeah,
in
fair.
the sewers. That's
He
fun.
has a giant rubber duck boat that all that's actually, what's the word for when you can go out of water onto land? It's one of those ones. Because it has
Oh,
wheels. He goes onto
yeah.
land and then he's going through the sea on
Dirigible.
that fucking thing.
Yes, there you go,
Yes.
dirigible.
Thank you,
So he's a
Antonette.
big rubber duck car. But then also when you're like, okay, Carnival Gang, I want you to take instruction manuals and head torches and stuff, and
Where
go
did
and
they get
tamper.
technical specifications for the Batmobile?
Like I
Oh,
said at the
no.
start, don't worry about it. Don't
The
ask too many questions.
clowns are sent to tamper with the car and adjust it so that he can control it from his own caravan, which has the controls in, which, as you say, has a mini Batman vehicle like outside of a shop. But it's like, that's because they're carnies, they've dressed it up like a Batmobile, so it's extra fun. And for some reason, when he's driving the Batmobile, he's rocking from side to side like a bucking Bronco. And then Batman's sitting there like, I'm just in the car. Why are you going back and
No,
forth?
what I think happened is that the actual unit itself was pre-existing. Somebody else had cashed in on the
Oh,
Batman
Batman.
thing,
Yeah.
and then they just took it and reappropriated it for their own ends.
Okay,
So it
yeah.
still had the mechanism in it to go back and forth and side to
I think
side.
so.
Yeah,
That's how
sure.
I that's how I interpreted it. Also, I miss the giant penis black Batmobile that is in these two films.
All right.
I know exactly what you mean.
Like there's a bit where he's trying to stealthily sneak up, but he's looking at Oswald Cobblepot as Penguin finds out is
Oh,
his
and he's
name.
just driving his fucking dildo car through the
And
street
he just has a peep, and
slowly.
then he drives off, and it's like, oh, very inconspicuous. Yeah, it's a good job the streets are shut off for the various Christmas things,
Hey,
because your car
Batman's a
would go nowhere.
ninja.
A ninja
No,
is a big deal as
that
well.
was stealth with an F. That was. I'm not hearing anything else.
He has a big black cock car that breaks down into a smaller, more manageable sized cock car as well. It's kind of
But
awful.
yeah, that's
Oh,
where he
God.
gets the thing of the Penguin saying, "I played this stinking city like a harp from hell," and then he plays it when he jams the signal and plays it at the press conference. And what the one thing in this film that I hate is when he fucking scratches the CD like a record,
Oh,
and
God, yeah.
oh, that's not.
It's not okay.
What do you?
Do you not
Oh.
understand CDs, old man?
Also, one thing I do like though is that his little CD player has a Batman logo on it. Why?
It
No reason
does. He's
whatsoever.
a nerd.
I love how much Bruce Wayne secretly really likes branding as Batman and puts logos everywhere. Really proud of that logo, which he should be.
Even the Batman light night skylight thing where he gets called, that gets a special. Well, he has like a setup in his house, so when that goes off, more of them
Okay. I didn't
reflect
somehow
into his house or something.
Somehow it never occurred to me until this time I watched that film. That's like the biggest giveaway that Bruce Wayne is Batman. No, he has giant bat symbol reflectors apparently all around his strange gothic Peppa Pig house on a hill.
Yeah.
Oh, I laughed so hard when I saw that his that Wayne Manor is just this single bizarre looking castle on this gothic hill. It's so over the top.
So, you know, Batman gets out of the situation where it's kind of gimmick infringement of Penguin again, where he's got his little TV monitor gloating to Batman. It's very, I don't know, it feels Jokerish and Riddlerish that he has a little monitor.
All the villains kind of cross-pollinate their ideas.
Yeah, he's kind of...
I also think that they probably shop at the same places. Like, how many places in Gotham can you possibly get the weird shit that they're getting?
Yeah, that's okay. True.
But yeah, he's got the kind of Riddler challenge in the Gotham games.
Don't remind me about that.
Where you're in a car doing challenges. And Batman, he punches the screen at the end, but how does he stop?
Oh,
the
he
car?
Gets he figures out where the little controller thing
oh,
is.
Oh, he takes the little clown themed bomb off or a controller.
They have to completely take the car apart to doctor it, but in order to get it back, all he has to do is take the little stick on off the bottom of the car.
So he stops knocking down the people of Gotham and doesn't kill an old lady, but still is blamed. Once again, the people of Gotham hate Batman because he's a big, horrible Sunday driver. Anthony, how did you feel about this plan? Is this are you not caring about the plot so much and just letting it wash over you and having a laugh? Or do you find this, Jamie and Abby have been particularly enthused. How were you feeling?
I was personally fine with it. I can see that the Penguin main plot is a little confusing because they kind of abandon it in the middle for the Penguin B plot, and then it comes back at the end, and you're like, he did get all those names at the beginning, didn't he? I suppose that was his plan all along until he was sidetracked
just to kill children.
Yeah,
for no real end, no financial gain.
And spite.
So when that springs up again and it's like, ah, the mayor thing fell through, I'm a fucking monster, here's all the names of all the people I want to kill, and that's a bit like, hold on, what?
I like the repurposing of the Elephant Man line that I'm not a human being, I'm an animal.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, also about the children of Gotham are just saved off camera as well, which is a bit
cheap. That it does... I felt like at that point the film was trying to wrap up very quickly. So all the children are kidnapped and then instantly saved during the kidnapping. And we don't see it. But again, speaking of Brandon, we see the letter from Batman where he's taken the time to, I guess, draw the logo. Because it doesn't
No,
look like
he's
a
got
stamp.
Pre-branded paper.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't
he? Keeps it in the glove compartment of the Batmobile, just for these purposes.
Yeah. God, he loves Brandon.
Well, it works for him.
I want to take a quick moment to just show appreciation for all of the animal acting and wrangling throughout this film. It's very good.
Some nice penguin work. I mean, I don't mind the fake penguins either. That's all right. Bit of fun.
Apparently, the real penguins really liked the fake penguins.
They cuddled up to them. The British penguins shipped in from the Cotswolds, apparently. Paid very nicely. One of the weird things as well is when Penguin's gone mad and is back in the zoo sewer business, he gives a speech to all of his penguin.
Oh my god, the fucking Patton speech.
What's going on? So you've got kidnapped children and trying to be mayor.
We've also got
rockets on penguins.
I think this is his plan C, because the children being kidnapped fell through because Batman interfered.
So plan C, strap rockets, which we've acquired to penguins, and suicide bomb them. No, they're not going to die. They launched the rockets, so...
I think he does say many of you won't be coming back.
It's a bit weird. You might be gunned down by the army. Fucking hell. And also, anyway, the finale of this film is a kind of clusterfuck of a kind of a clusterfuck of Max Shrek Catwoman, Penguins with Rockets, The Penguin, and Batman, and, you know, a big bomb. Well, many bombs, I suppose, isn't it?
Did anyone does anyone else get confused as to where the actual toxic waste pool is supposed to be?
Yes, I thought it was directly under them, but then there were penguins in it. Well, it's not toxic waste then, because those penguins would be dead.
Also, Max Schreck falls into it at one point, so presumably it's not what he's being dangled over.
Yeah. How did he end up being dangled at all?
He was in a he gets put in a cage, because it's when he gives himself up at the masquerade party and says, no, take me, not Chip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very
that
good.
Very good.
Yeah.
threatened it, and then there it was. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole fuck it vibe to Penguin that's like Clancy, Rocket Penguins. Yeah. We can't kill all the children of Gotham. We'll just blow up things indiscriminately and take hostages and all sorts. And Batman, he has the button to set off the rockets, right? He's managed to get the remote.
Batman has cloned a detonator.
Yes.
Oh.
Don't worry about it.
But they do set off the rockets, but they just go up and come crashing down again. Is that right?
He aims them at the Penguin's, like,
lair.
Yeah, and blows it all up. Because this Batman doesn't give a shit about killing people.
And himself, but he doesn't kill him, I guess. Everyone else dies because Selina Kyle, a henchman was killed earlier, and he's like, should we really kill children? And it's like, yeah, fair enough.
I like that moment.
All the other henchmen are flying dead. But he's drops a gun in the water, which Maxi Schreck can get hold of when he's plunged in the water. And so he's able to pull a gun on Catwoman and Batman to sort of stop them, you know, kind of fighting over how they deal with him. Because Catwoman's like, I'll murder him. And then Batman's like, we'll arrest him, I think you're frightened.
And she says, people like him, the law doesn't apply to people like him. And she's right. Because he would absolutely just fucking sail away and nothing would happen to him.
Harvey Dent would come in and be a genius lawyer who gets him off.
Yep.
But it does mean that Catwoman is murdered to death. And Batman's shot, and presumably shot for really... I mean, he's shot, but he has armour, but then he also goes down like a sack of shit.
I mean, the impact of the bullet is still going to knock you over.
Yeah, yeah. But Catwoman is riddled with bullets before...
What's keeping her alive is just her sheer force of will and spite.
Tony Montana style.
Yeah.
And the cat suit being so tight that it's trapping all the blood in.
That's actually probably true.
Yeah. But, like, so she manages to go up to Schreck and does a kind of, I'm going to taser you / connect to the electricity somehow.
Yeah, the current goes through her and into him, so presumably she's all right because she's grounded by using Schreck. Look,
she's just covered in rubber or whatever.
Worry about it.
But she electrocute make out with him to death.
Yeah, it's amazing. He has the best death in the film, especially because we get to see the comedically horrifying aftermath
with his googly eyes and his burnt face.
What are we talking
about? And the Catwoman is resurrected from this.
I don't know why you think there's anything supernatural happening here. It's just she survives. That's it.
Survives being electrocuted with her own mouth.
She doesn't get electrocuted. He does. It goes
through
her.
How does that work?
Don't worry about it.
I mean, the cat's erected. When she fell from a building, it's just a few cats licking her, wakes her up.
No, because she didn't. Her fall, she fell through a bunch of those like veranda things.
Awnings.
Like, the velocity, awnings. Thank you. The velocity of her fall was cut significantly, but she still suffered like traumatic brain injury.
And she breaks and becomes Catwoman. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I like is Schreck, upon her coming back from presumably the dead, he's like shitting his pants and like, you went on a holiday, didn't you? And then she's like, actually, I had amnesia. And then it's like, oh, that's me off the hook. Then if she remembers and tries to blackmail me, I'll kill her. But I'm absolutely forgetting about that.
Yeah.
Claps hands
together. Go away with Bruce Wayne. Show him out of the building completely by yourself. I trust you're not going to tell him anything.
That's fine. I'm sure your memory will never come back. Good day.
There is another thing that happens in that scene with the three of them before Schreck is shocked.
Yes.
And it annoys the shit out of me, and it's something that the new Batman remedies, and I'm glad someone's finally acknowledging it. We see a lot of close-ups of Batman's eyes in this film under the mask, and you can tell he's wearing, you know, lots
makeup.
of goth makeup to make his eyes blend in with the mask. And then there's the point just before he tears the mask off in this where he's not wearing that makeup.
Yeah.
So they can have Michael Keaton without it afterwards and not be jarring. Fuck off. Robert Pattinson is now doing it right. Acknowledge the fact that Bruce Wayne has to put that eye makeup on before he dresses up in his bat costume.
He has a special wipey thing that when you pull the rubber helmet off, it wipes your eyes clean, mate. Don't think about it, Jimmy. Just don't think about it.
He has to have those Alice Cooper patches.
He should do. Mm-hmm. He should have the eyes of like the Penguin. That's what he should have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we have what I hate as well is Catwoman with her blonde hair coming through when she's all mauled up.
You didn't like how messy it was?
It's just creepy.
I was a bit annoyed by how easily Bruce Wayne's mask tore.
Yeah.
It wasn't that easy. You really had to pull it.
I know, but
thing.
Like, what kind of cheap shit is it made of? It should be like a helmet.
Yeah, he should take it off like a, you know, like he's a military guy or something.
I did like the Bruce. Why are you dressed as Batman? Like, just not.
I don't get it. Still.
Like, not guessing that Bruce Wayne is actually Batman.
It was a bit. I don't think he needed to resort to pulling the mask off either. Like, it doesn't feel very Batman to be like, I'm unveiling myself to convince you.
I think he's trying to appeal to her.
They did have like a conversation about him being in a mask all the time.
Okay. But then Max Shrek is just there. And you're like, well, you're dead because there's no way you're getting away knowing the identity. This is it for Batman. If you're the perfect person, you could blackmail him and out him to the media and, you know.
Well, I think that's
Fox News will be hounding him.
The way Bruce is talking to Selina, he's ready to just pack it in and they can run away together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
But yeah, the Penguin fell into this, I guess, toxic waste because then he emerges.
I love the pratfall he does onto his face when he dies. Like, there's an element of Penguin still going to fight back. Because like, he's destroyed with what? A car crash? A duck crash? What was he in when they have a massive car accident?
What?
How does Penguin get killed?
He falls through the glass at the top.
Because the
rockets, I think.
The rockets exploded. Right.
Yeah. No, he sets the rockets off.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And then the Batmobile when that thing is pressed, it unleashes a load of bats, which also means that Bruce Wayne keeps live bats in the Batmobile.
And trains them.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, he's a weird guy. but yeah, they swarm Penguin and he falls through the glass into the toxic waste and then comes out after all of this has happened and is, just leaking goo everywhere.
Yeah.
But he does have that wonderful moment where he pulls out an umbrella to kill Batman and it's one of the, like, the mobile ones with all the, like, little ducks hanging off it and he says, oh, shit. I picked a cute one.
I do wonder why we don't get an explanation for why Penguin loves umbrellas and how it weaponizes them.
How many times do I have to say don't worry about it?
Like, it doesn't fit with I guess it don't matter. But I'd like to know, why did Penguin take to umbrellas of all things? I guess it's gentlemanly, isn't it, and sophisticated.
I think it is that. I think a lot of his image in this film is this like warped version of what he believes he's like. His legacy has been denied.
Maybe. So, yeah, it ties back to that, but they're lethal. And he shows us a few of them. They get a bit of a showing. They don't come into it that much. Oh, I like the way he dispenses. When Catwoman's like, not fucking me too and me, dude. She gets helicopter hung by him under an umbrella.
I love that image of her like floating away against the matte painting background is fantastic.
Yeah, I really like the visual splendor of this hasn't been a problem for me at any point. It's literally just the structure that has been the problem for me.
Recently, also another gross view as well at times.
Well, he's a villain.
Yeah.
Like, they have made an incredibly good villain in the sense that I fucking hate him.
Yeah.
He's gross
but
it's horrid.
Structurally.
But yeah, structurally, they just... I don't know if they lost control or they didn't care to begin with. But I think it's just not disciplined enough.
Sure.
I get the sense of they're letting me make whatever film I want. And I feel like they may not do that again once they see what the result is. So I'm just going to put everything in here.
Once they find out how much it costs as well. Oh, yeah. I think it is. Like Tim Burton, I want to do all the visuals and mad character stuff. And it doesn't, to me, he's not like a story writer. He's an art director. He's like a artistic person who wants to create imagery of comic books and dark, sinister tales. But he doesn't actually care that much for how a movie should be structured to be.
It's why the Nolan stuff is sort of the other side of that coin, because they're, especially Dark Knight, it's very dependent on the way the plot is structured and how it all builds momentum and comes together. Whereas these films, well, this film in particular, is very much like just an explosion of like style and like visual flair, and the plot's just the thing to put that on.
It is just like fittingly like a circus of ideas and mad shit too. And it's there. It's a visual, splendid thing. It's full of jokes and acrobatics and excitement and exuberance and mad shit. And, you know, it's like a circus. It's got everything, and it's going to have a big, impactful ending. And, you know, we get, you know, explosions and electrocutions, and then we get a really sad penguin funeral.
Yeah.
And then we're left to go, fuck it then, that's that then, dusted. Batman,
Merry Christmas, Alfred.
Yeah, fucking, I got you what you've always wanted. Me having a lie-in and you not having to do any work.
I feel like Alfred does his job without Bruce ever even realizing he's... Like, Bruce would never give Alfred any orders. Alfred just takes care of him. Because he cannot take care of himself.
Alfred is his own villain, really. He's a terrible worst dad. Enemy. He's like the worst enabling butler who's obsessed. You know, he's fastidious and does all the details. He still has to run the back computers at home for Bruce. He's always
pick up the groceries, as we see at the start.
He's both a hero and a villain, because he should stop. The healthy thing would be get therapy, wouldn't it? Use your money for good, not mad. But fuck it, just enable the little boy whose parents died.
Have you ever thought about buying a social media platform, Master Bruce?
You could just ban all the accounts you want and you'd be happy. Anyway, I mean, that's Batman. We return to it, and I think we're all enthusiastic in one way or the other. So that's good.
It's just a cartoon. It's a live-action cartoon. It is the gothic version of the Flintstones movie, but with a better plot.
My whole thing with this is that I'm disappointed that they didn't do it right. I don't hate that they did it wrong. They came so close and made some critical errors that disappoint me.
I don't know if it's... I wouldn't say they did it wrong. They just...
It's not quite tight enough.
It's not a masterpiece, but it is sensational. Like, it's insane and mad and over the top. And that in its own way is a success. Like, how stupid and weird and imaginative and how much they throw at it and how much fun everyone's having. You can tell that, like, every person likes being these mad characters and is... I mean, Christopher Walken doesn't seem like he's going nuts with it, but the others are all...
I disagree.
You think he's enjoying it? Well, I just think... He's the most toned down, reasonable villain. And like Batman's Pfeiffer, like all of them are enjoying themselves. And like, obviously, Tim Burton must have had a ball, otherwise, maybe it was really stressful. It was apparently very stressful to find the right set because they were all everywhere and they kept moving them. Apparently, Pfeiffer couldn't find the set half the time.
Little thing that I didn't want to forget to mention the bit where they're seeing where Bruce and Selina bump into each other and they're both complaining about the media coverage of their alter egos. So she's complaining about the weight that they say Catwoman is, and he's complaining about Batman blows it. I mean, I'm sure he at least saved the city thousands in property damage.
What a millionaire answer. What a billionaire way to think of it. That's funny. There's some good and some horrific jokes in this, so fair play. Anthony, were you pleased with your return to Batman? Did it work?
Yeah, honestly, it kind of had everything that I wanted. Well, I probably didn't want the overt sexual references so much.
not from this grotesque, but, Danny DeVito monster.
I just remember, like, when I was young, like Beetlejuice was like my film, you know, and like other than Beetlejuice, like the Batman films are why I loved Tim Burton back then, you know.
Yes,
and you know, like the cinematography, the sets, the costumes, the lighting, the whole thing is so cinematic, and you can see all his kind of like old cinema references coming through.
Yeah,
and it really feels like a proper cinematic movie.
Well, that was,
and that's kind of what I love about it.
The name Max Schreck, that was the name of the actor who played
Orlok. Of course it was.
In Nosferatu.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I can't say the problems that you brought up aren't there, because they certainly are. But kind of like when I think of Batman, I think of this, you know, this style, this tone, this, you know, mood.
Yeah, it definitely is a landmark moment for comic book movies that, you know, stands the test of time, can be revisited. It looks more and more hokey and cartoony and mad now.
But it embraces it so much that
yeah,
that's where the staying power is. Like, it's deliberately...
Like, bizarrely, it's the computerized visual effects that are the ones making it go, ugh.
I feel unnecessary because they're so small, the amount of them as well. Yeah.
This is more... I think the 89 one is remembered more, but I feel like Returns is more Tim Burton's Batman Returns than Batman 89 was. Mm. Like, Tim Burton's Batman.
They've let him out of his black gothic cage, freed him into the sewers, and he's gone there with relish. Yeah.
Also, that I really like that Susie and the Banshee song. I never really got that into them, but that song's a good one.
I like Susie and the Banshees because it's good stuff. All right, well, that's we've opened our present under the bat tree, and
a giant present full of clowns with skull masks on.
Oh no. We're all going to climb in a big rubber duck and peg it up some stairs and race off into the sunset, no?
Is this a Christmas movie?
It's got Christmas trees and big presents in it.
So, yes.
They have a tree lighting ceremony twice.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying how often. You go to the tree lighting ceremony, didn't want to do the first time, don't want to do the second time, thanks.
Do you want to come back and watch it on television? It's going to be even shitter on television.
I mean, who watches lights being turned on TV anyway? What a waste of time.
A surprising number of people.
Also,
I want
to
see
Adam
Deck pull a switch.
You can tell Bruce Wayne like doesn't know how to do things with people.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, do you want to come and watch a tree lighting ceremony in my house?
Alfred will be there. Just hanging around.
You're not meant to talk to the servants when you're posh. They just stand in the background and you say salacious things and they hear them and sell tippets to the newspapers.
I will say, this Michael Keaton's portrayal does have the best "No, Mrs. Patterson" energy.
Yeah, awkward Bruce Wayne is good stuff. More of that, please. Anyway, who knows if we'll have further helpings of Batman down the line? Bound to, definitely.
We will. I'm definitely going to guarantee it.
There's one on the schedule.
Also, we haven't done Batman yet, so who knows what we'll keep that for. The Batman films go on forever, so there's always a Batman around.
They go on Batman forever.
Well, on that quality pun, goodbye.
Jim Carrey's insufferable in that movie. Goodbye.
He's the best thing in that movie. Boy. Because he's insufferable.
Now, children.
Bye.